As early as 1600 BC, a very widespread sea-based cultural complex flourished in the southwestern Pacific, centered on the Bismarck Archipelago. It's known to us from a very highly distinctive form of pottery decorated with shell stamps, and it's called the Lapita complex. It's a complex, Lapita, which may have developed out of indigenous roots in the Bismarck Archipelago area. Then it spread rapidly. Why did it spread so rapidly? One very simple reason. Trade. In the Bismarck Archipelago region, there were important outcrops of volcanic glass, obsidian, which you'll recall from earlier lectures was a prized material for the making of stone tools of all kinds. And this trade, carried out in canoes, simple canoes, spread obsidian and other exotic objects like seashells right through the islands of Southeast Asia and deeply into the Pacific. This was an enormous series of trade routes connecting different islands, none of them, of course, dominated by one person or one people, which extended as far as Bali and deep into the Southeast Asian mainland. And eventually, it spread into the Pacific, as far east as Fiji, Tonga, and Samoa. History will judge the Lapita people as one of the great exploring societies, yet they're almost unknown, partly because nobody's done any archaeology on them much, except for the Australians, and also because they are scattered over large areas and never built large settlements. Their greatest period of activity was about the time of Christ, 2,000 years ago. And the Bismarck Archipelago region appears to have been one of these crucibles of innovation which is so important in human prehistory. Because it was here that one of the great innovations of Pacific life was developed, the ocean-going double-hulled canoe. Now, I don't know if any of you have sat or stood in a dugout canoe. It is really a hollowed-out tree trunk, and it is very tippy, and you get extremely nervous, and the chances of getting tipped over are fairly high. But if you put an outrigger on it, or two hulls joined with cross pieces, the whole world changes. For a start, you have a very stable platform, which enables you to weather much higher swells. Very often in open water sailing, it's not the winds, although those can be dangerous, it is the size of waves and wind waves and swells which affect your ability to make safe voyages. The double-hulled canoe immediately gave you stability. It also gave you a platform upon which you could set an efficient sailing rig. So instead of paddling, you were sailing, and the wide beam of it prevented you heeling too much. Then, even more important perhaps, a double-hulled canoe had a much greater carrying capacity than a single-hulled canoe, not only for people, but also for easily stored foods, trade goods, and other things. This canoe enabled people, the Lapita people, to venture out far further into the Pacific and to sail out of sight of land, with the expectation that they would return safely. Now, let us not underestimate the size of the barrier which confronted them. Here you're talking about ocean voyages of 600 miles or more, where you went completely out of sight of land, where you were aiming to navigate for small spots on the ocean with the expectation that you would return safely. This required indigenous, sophisticated navigational methods, ways of finding your direction and navigating safely from A to B out of sight of land.